Appreciate Cheryl for doing that. And rush to grab your Bibles, please. We'll be in the book of Matthew, continuing on in the red letters. We'll be in Matthew chapter 21. And Lord willing, we'll be finishing off the chapter. If you talk about the red letters, talk about the words of Christ. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? I want to know more about him. That should be your desire this morning. If you love him, you want to know about him. I remember back when my wife and I were dating, and we didn't do things normally. My wife will tell you that I chased her over the whole summer, up in Holton. Anyone know where Holton is? And so I was in hot pursuit. And, but she was running kind of slow. So I think she wanted to be caught. And, so finally over the last summer, but she's the type of, you know, I asked her out. And I was like, oh, and up there was the fancy place in Holton was the Chinese restaurant, Asian Palace was up there. And that's where, you know, wanted to put out the big box. That was really trying to be impressive. So I asked her, I said, well, I like to take you out to the Asian Palace. And I was like, you know, and she goes, well, I don't like Chinese food. I was like, oh. So I'm like, all right. So but I was persistent. I chased her. And finally, at the end of summer, as I was heading off and she was heading off to college, she finally said that she'd be my girlfriend. And so she went off to college and I went off to school and we corresponded back and forth. And this is before internet, phone calls, long distance was expensive. So we just corresponded with letters back and forth. And I could not wait to get a letter from her. I was like, excited, all thrilled. And I know once down there in college, I sent her like a 4-foot card because I knew that she'd have to carry that all through the girls' dorm and all the girls were like, oh, who is that? And I was like, yeah, all right, get the points. Long story short, we ended up getting married. But I was excited to get these letters, to find out what was going on and get to know her. And things were a little bit slower, like I said, through correspondence that way. And folks, if we love the Lord, we should want to know more about him. And so, what better way of actually seeing what the Lord has said? And we've talked about that throughout the book of Matthew. We've gotten to a point now where there's a conflict, right? The religious leaders are resisting Jesus. Jesus has declared himself to be God, right? And the religious leaders are just fighting against that. And so now we are here in 21. And leading off, Jesus starts teaching parables. And we're into the second of three. Next week we'll get into chapter 22 where we'll finish off another parable about the kingdom of God and how it is revealed and what do we do with that knowledge. So in chapter 21, verse 33, this is what we read. It says, here, another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers, and he went to a far country. Now when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that he might receive its fruit. And we don't do this type of stuff today. We're all pretty much independent. We own our own stuff. But in this type of part of the world, it was very common that you had the landowner, right? He purchased and bought everything, and then here he would lease out or hire people to come take care of his crops. And so this is sort of the economic system of the day that they've been very familiar with. But I want you to take this parable, and we're going to break it down through, and he goes on a little bit further of what happens. But it's imperative for us to realize that, look, that is the Lord here. He is the landowner. He's the one who owns everything. But look, he provides. He is the source of all things. All things that we have come from him. Notice what he says here, right? In verse, he says, look, he planted a vineyard, right? Who planted it? The owner, right? He planted it. He tended it. He picked the right seeds and all that. And growing things is not easy. How's all your gardens doing? How many of you guys are gardeners? Things are coming up. Things are going well. I planted grass last week. Put some straw down on top of it. I've been watering it. And I was all excited because I thought by this point, so I pulled back all my hay yesterday, and I got about four little blades of grass sticking up. Pray for me. I can't even grow grass. So I put down a little more fertilizer type stuff, and maybe that's my problem. I don't know what I'm doing. So I put down more seed, watered it, covered again, and I'm praying next week for a miracle. I don't know. Right? It takes a lot. Look what happens to you. A landowner does what? Not only that, he plants it, but then he puts a hedge around it. He invests the protection around it. You know, we got our neighbors, and she's got chickens that like to come into our yard. And I think that's where some of my... Do chickens eat grass seed? I think, because the chickens look a little plump. And my yard looks a little bare. So I think the combination of the two is I think we're feeding our neighbors chickens. So... Right? But they're over there, and I'm chasing them all out, and we looked at, well, maybe there's some netting to put over it. This is why I don't like to grow things. It's a lot of work. You just go to the grocery store and get something. You know? I don't know. But anyway, trying to grow the grass, trying to get it to come up. Try to protect and keep all the bad animals away, and keep the bad people away who wants to pick everything. The landowner provided that. He provided the protection, the hedge around everything to protect the crop. Not only that, they also, in anticipation, dug a wine press. And every time I think of wine press, now this is how old I am. Does anyone remember watching the I Love Lucy? How many of you know what I'm going to talk about? There's a great scene. If you haven't seen this, this is on YouTube. I don't care how old you are, you will think this is hilarious. But they would have this walled-in section. And the grapes would go inside of it, and outside the stone wall, they'd have little spigots where everything would run out. And so you would go in there and take off your shoes, wash your feet, and go and stomp on grapes. Actually, that sounds like fun. Stomp, 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 stomp. And it would ooze between your toes, and then, you know, the liquid would flow out. That was the wine press that they would have. And in here, to build that in anticipation of the crop was going, folks, if we think of this, it's the Lord, right? The Lord is the one who gives us everything. He is the source of all our life. He is the source of all that we have. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, the scripture says. He provides for our future. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Right? If I go, I'm going to prepare a place for us. The Lord has taken care of it all. And then he built a tower. And the tower is for watching. To warn of all those that are coming on. And we see this, that God is the source of all things. Acts reminds us, it's God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshiped with man's hands. As though he needs anything. God doesn't need anything from us. But he loves us. And he gives to all life, breath, and all things. The very air that we breathe, we are able to do this by God. Colossians, Paul tells us, is for by him all things were created that are in heavens and that are on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or minions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. I remember when I was younger, I was more of a deist. And if you don't know what that is, the idea of a deist is that God was his creator. He created the world, and he wound it all up and didn't let it go. Kind of like you talk about the watchmaker, right? He puts all the pieces together, winds the clock, and it runs all by itself. And for a long time, I thought that's how God ran the world. He created everything, set it all in motion, and then he stood back. But you know what? You read the Bible, it's not what God is. God knows how many hairs are on your head. And for me, that's a moving count. My forehead is growing every year. Right? He knows how tall we are. He knows everything about us. Read the book of Job when he talks about, look, he knows when the deer go out into the field. He knows how far the ocean is going to come. God is in control. He holds this world together. And without him, nothing would be sustained. And because of that, he should be worshipped as the Creator. Look around. This is an amazing world. If our planet was just a little bit closer to the sun, we'd burn. If we were just a little bit further out, we'd freeze. The balance of our systems. You know, I went to the doctor. I thought I was doing good because I was taking some vitamins. And, you know, you go there, I'm going to be healthy. So I got a multivitamin. I was taking multivitamin. And I went to the doctor and said, oh, wow. And she's like, are you taking supplements? I was like, well, I'm taking a vitamin. You're supposed to, right? She goes, well, your calcium level's really high. I said, oh, is that bad? She goes, yeah. And she's like, you know what? Stop taking the supplements and let your body kind of do what it's supposed to do. Here I thought I was doing some good, right? But throwing off your calcium a little bit signals off a whole bunch of other things. Just one simple thing. Our balance in our bodies is just amazing of how it all works. God is our designer, our creator. Look at little baby Daisy. Chris will probably show off. He's almost like a grandparent over there showing off pictures. And see, right? It's amazing. You get this, you get these babies, and they get the little tiny toes and the little tiny fingernails, and they get right? I mean, it's amazing how God created them all. What a wonderful God we serve as creator, the diversity in this world. You look around us, and it is amazing. I put out a hummingbird feeder. I love hummingbirds, or at least I like the ideas of them. One of the places we lived at, we put out a feeder and we'd get them. And first of all, how many guys like hummingbirds? They're nasty little things. We're watching and the males were fighting over, I mean, they're just like, and they're, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, watching a little kitten get vicious. But I mean, they're like, you know, these little things, and they're fighting each other for the food, and it's like, oh wow, you know, they zip. I mean, you watch that thing just go, and it's like, wow, that didn't just happen. God created that. You know, how can that thing fly up, down, backwards, forwards? All, I mean, it is, right? And I saw a picture of a hummingbird egg. You know, this little tiny nest. Here I am. Yes, I'm manly, yes, but it's like, come on, you know, the little tiny, you know, it's incredible how God is the creator. And because of that, he should be worshipped as creator of all things. And so Jesus in this parable is, look, here's an owner of a vineyard. And he provided everything. He planted it, put a hedge about it, put the wine press in, put a tower in. He provided everything and then hired those to come and take care of what was his. Back in Matthew 21, verse 35, it says, the vine dresser took his servants, beat them, killed them, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and he did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son, saying to them, surely they will respect my son. And when the vine dresser saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Here we have, right, the owner made everything. He went out and actually leased out the land. Gave it to them. And how grateful were they? Not at all. Here the owner had traveled, left the things in their hands, trusted them with everything he had provided, and yet they did nothing with it. They took it for themselves. Then the servants that the master sent, they killed them and beat them. Then finally sent his son. They did as well. And what Jesus is talking about here is that God throughout history sent prophets to Israel. Right? Time and again. Warned them. We have these scriptures given to us that look, they were on the wrong path and God warned them, send them messengers. And what did they do? Oftentimes rejected, killed the messengers. And we see that in the world today, right? I believe our world is going in the wrong direction. We've abandoned God. From all the way from 62 when we took prayer out of school, taking 10 commandments off the wall. And we've cast out, drawing out God of every corner of our society. People are passionately opposed to anything. And what we're left with today is a moral war that's going on. You try posting something about Christ on Facebook and you watch how quickly you get shot down. You can speak about anything except for God. And I love that because you get into the situation, well, you're intolerant. I'm like, wait a minute, you're being intolerant to me. Right? But it only works one way. For a month in June, I'm going to go out and get a Christian. I talked about this last year. I know Zach and I had talked about putting out a Christian flag during the month of June. And this year I'm going to order one and I'm going to put it out. And it's been easy. You can hang up any flag you want, right? But man, I'm interested to see what's going to happen. And I'm not doing it because last year I didn't do it. I talked with Zach. I said, look, I want to do it. But my heart isn't right because I'm kind of like, I'm going to show you, right? And I'm like, okay, that's not the attitude I want to do that with. I don't want to be that guy. And so I think I've worked past that a little bit. But this year, you know what? I don't care. I'm just going to let my light shine. And we'll see what happens. But you warn people of the dangers of sin, and we're shot down. And here they are, the Pharisees who had the Word of God, right? Their responsibility was to teach it and share it with others. And what? They took those very things, and they knew that it pointed to Christ, and yet they chose to reject Him. And Jesus here has told them, look, I'm going to Jerusalem, and they're going to crucify me. In just a little while, as we follow the book of Matthew, Jesus is going to be taken out and crucified. And here, that He sent His own Son, and they rejected Him. And I look at this, and at first I got angry with the religious leaders. And I'm like, oh, here's Israel, right? And they rejected every prophet, they rejected. They sent Jesus, and they rejected Him, and yet, as I read through the passage, I contemplated more. I'm like, you know what? God is so gracious. God is so gracious. Because not only is He the Creator, right? He provided all this, all that we have today. God gave us all of this. He sustains it. But then also, God warns us. And He is patient with us. God's so much patient than I am. Think about this. The God warned Israel, said, be careful, be careful. Just read through the book of Judges. And in here we have this cycle where they followed God and rejected Him and followed Him and rejected Him and followed Him and rejected Him. We see this all throughout the book of Judges. And yet God given them another chance. They repented. He took them back. Oh, what a gracious God we have. And I'm thankful for that in my life. There's been times when I've walked away from the Lord. There's times when I've denied Him. There's things that I've done that I'm ashamed of. There's things I won't even tell you what I've done. But He knows. And He forgives. Time and time again. You know, it's an amazing thing. Because He knows I'm going to mess up. And He loves me anyways. He loves me anyways. He loves you. The book of John says this, He came into His own and His own did not receive Him. He came into Israel. He came to His own people and they rejected Him. And John continues on, look at this, for God so loved the world, you guys know this, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. And it's interesting, people always point to say, oh, Jesus is love, God so loved the world, I love that verse. But it's interesting, what you read after this? Look at, it says, and he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is what? Condemned already. because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's what the religious leaders were doing. Right? They sent his son to give him the truth, and they rejected him because they would rather stay in their sins than to change. Boy, that looks like our world today, doesn't it? People would rather stay in their sin than change. We live in a world that's so afraid to say something. Sunday school, we were talking about this just a little bit. And I have to believe, especially what we're doing to our young people, that I believe that there's got to be a majority who believes that all this is wrong. But they're so afraid of being pointed out, of being called some phobic. At the end of the day, I'm convinced a lot of it is just Christphobic. I don't know how you say that. I'll work on it. Right? That they're afraid of Jesus. Because he asks us to turn from our sin. And the world doesn't want that. But praise the Lord that he's not slow in his promises. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Lord, how come he haven't come already, right? Jesus said he's coming. It's been 2,000 years. Lord, why are you letting this world go on like it is? Why don't you step in? Why don't you intervene? Peter was asked that same question. He said, look, just remember, Christian, God keeps his promises. But right now, he's waiting for more people to get saved. And people are turning to him. God is working in people's lives. You know, if you just watch the news and listen to the radio and just read the print, right, you get very myopic. And sometimes we forget God is working. God is still calling people. God is still changing lives. I know I have relatives that I'm praying that they will repent and they will get saved before the Lord comes back. I just need to be patient in God's timing. Take a look back at Matthew. It says, therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to the vine dressers? And they said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease their vineyards to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits of its season. Right? He asked the religious leaders, okay, well, so the owner comes back, what's he going to do? He's going to judge them and take away what they have and give it to someone else. Jesus says, yeah, exactly. Folks, do not doubt the Lord is going to return. He is coming back. We are closer. The Apostle Paul thought the Lord was coming in his day. We're closer than that by 2,000 years. The Lord will come back. Justice will be done. We just have to wait. Peter once again says this, for this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens of old and the earth stood standing out of the water, in the water, by which the world then existed, perished, being flooded by water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire into the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. Do not forget, God is going to judge. He is going to. He did it once with the flood. Next time he's going to do it with fire. And this world is running around like there is no cost to what they're doing. And there's a temporal cost. People's lives are being destroyed. Marriages are being shipwrecked. Children are being confused. We see this all around us. But folks, there is an eternal judgment that is going to take place. Matthew finishes off and said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on the stone will be broken, but on whom it falls, it will grind him to powder. The folks in here, he's talking about this stone, and the stone is Jesus. He's the stone which the builders rejected. He's the cornerstone, the foundation of the church. But woe is them that fall on it, or it falls on you. The judgment will come. The Bible tells us that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, who is in heaven, and those on the earth, and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. That in this, we look at this, we see that wrong seems to be prospering. We see our leaders flaunting their authority and forgetting the one who gave them that authority, which is God. And they will give an account. You know, I find myself watching the news, I'm like, man, these people are getting away with everything. You ever feel that way? Lord, where is the justice? Folks, rest assured, they will bow the knee to Jesus. Willingly or not, the day will come. Watch ye therefore, for you do not know the hour of the Lord's coming. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming, an hour you do not expect. The Lord is coming. I don't know when. I have a hint it's soon. I wonder, how much worse can it get? You know, I started saying that a couple of years ago. I'm afraid to ask that anymore. Right? It's like, oh, what now? What else could they do? Oh, wow. Right? But no, the Lord is returning. And look for it. Work for it. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived he was speaking of them. I love this. Right? Jesus is talking about this, you know, the owner and those guys that were given responsibilities, and then they killed the servants and they killed the son, and they're like, oh, Jesus is talking about us. He's like, yeah. And then when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to wring his neck. Wait a minute, isn't that what Jesus just said in the parable? That they sent the son, they're going to kill him. They're filling this as they speak. He was talking about them, and here they were living it out as they were speaking. Oh, what a hard heart they are. But they feared the multitude because the people perceived that Jesus was a prophet. Folks, as we go out, we wrap things all up tonight. I want to ask you, are you ready? If the Lord were to come today, do you know you'd go to be with him? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but me. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That the wages of our sin is separation from God forever. Yet he died on the cross for you. He paid the penalty. And if you will accept him as your Lord and Savior, you will believe that he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, rose again. If you believe that, you trust in him, he says he will take away all your sins. And he will prepare a place for you. It's an old song that says, there's a new name written down in glory. What a wonderful reservation that is for us who are believers. And as believers, are we hearing God's word and are we doing it? Are we faithful in working in what the Lord has placed into our hands to follow him? Are we working? Are we just hanging out? Lord, help me be a faithful servant, that when you come, you'll find me working for you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, encourage us by it. Lord, help us not to be unfaithful in our service to you. Lord, help us not to reject your word. But Lord, I pray in all that we do and say, Lord, we align ourselves with you. Lord, you are the creator. You are the savior. You are our king. We serve you. Lord, help me be faithful in that work. Lord, if there's someone here who is a stranger to your grace, Lord, today can be that day. If they will open their hearts, believe that you died, buried, and rose again to wipe away their sin, that they will give you their life, Lord, you will come in and you will save them. What a great day this is, Lord, because you are in it. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.